Kind of called this Wednesday night series the Go Initiative, and what the Lord has spoken to my heart and what I've shared with you is four areas of the go. We are to go after God, we are to go for Christ, we are to go through the Spirit, and we are to go to others. And so we've just been walking through those, and we've talked about going after God, the pursuit of going after God, and we talked about the passion and the drive that it takes to pursue everything that God has. And then for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the go for Christ. Because not only are we to go after God, not only are we to be passionate about this life that we are living, and not only are we to be driven to go after God with everything that is within us, but then we are also called to go for Christ. The go after God is about pursuit. And those of you in the back may or may not be able to see this, but the going after God is all about pursuit. But the going for Christ is about representation. And we've been talking about how we are to represent Christ. And we opened it up on the first week, and we talked about what it means to go for Christ. And we talked out of Hebrews there about going for the glory of God, doing all for the glory of God. And we discovered through Scripture in Hebrews chapter number 1, the Word tells us that Christ is the glory of God. So when the Word tells us to do all that we do and go for the glory of God, it is telling us to go for Christ. Okay? And the idea of going for is not the idea of reaching for something. That's the going after in pursuit. The idea of going for Christ is to go in representation of Christ, going on behalf of. And that's what we talked about last week. Going for Christ, going for is on behalf of. Speaking on behalf of, and we talked about our words, and we talked about our speech, and we talked about the importance of that. So we're not gonna go back to that. We're gonna keep pressing forward because we've got farther to go in this concept of going for Christ. So last week we talked about going for is on behalf of, and we talked about authority and the name of Christ that we go in. So we go for Christ, and the Lord said to them, and this is the scripture that we will kind of focus on in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and he spoke to them and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And in verse number 20, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So all authority has been given to Christ in heaven and on earth. And he says, "Go therefore." So you go. Now, if you want to turn one more place with me, turn over to Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. This is Mark's record of the commission that Christ gives to his disciples. And in Mark 16 and 15, "And Jesus said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name.'" So when we go in his authority, and his authority is found in his name. So he said, "Go, and in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Verse 18, it says, "They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Verse number 19 then says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, set down at the right hand of God. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. Okay? So we see here God says to them, "Go And Christ says to them, go in my authority and I give you my name. And so you speak, you say to them what I have taught you. You do in this world what I have done in this world, and you do this through my authority and in my name. And so we are to go today for Christ. And our words are imperative. How many realize you can't teach others what you have received unless you speak? And so we have to go with our words. So we go forward. We are speaking for Christ. And that's where we left off. We are speaking in his name. We are speaking for him. If you remember 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors. And we just took it from there. So tonight, let's look at not only as representatives and in representation of Christ, we go for on behalf of, but for is believing in the cause of. If we're going to go for Christ, representing Christ, we have to believe in his cause. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We talked about going on behalf of Christ, so that dealt with our words. But now we're going to talk about what we believe. Because if you're going to go for Christ, you're going to have the right beliefs. And you're going to have to believe in his cause. Here's what I want you to understand. The question I want to give you tonight is, do you believe in the cause of Christ? Is that what you're going for? Too many say they believe in Christ, but they don't believe in the cause of Christ. Now, they don't say that, but it comes out in their actions and in their beliefs. It comes out in the way they live their life. They say, oh, I'm a believer in Christ. And probably they are. They believe in who he is and what he did. But they don't believe in his cause, or else they will be walking differently. They will be responding differently. He will be living through them. And let me know, when Jesus walked on this earth, he walked in purpose. He was intentional. Amen. Everything he did, he was about the Father's business. He had a cause. He had a purpose. He had a reason. And sadly, many Christians today do not have that same cause, that same purpose, and that same reason of living life. We claim Christ. We say the right words, but we don't have that same purpose within our life. So are we really allowing him to live through us? Are we really representing him? Are we really going for him to our world? Are we really pursuing after God if we're not sold out, committed on his cause? Not on our cause. Not in our purpose. In his cause. In his purpose. That's the key. We're going to talk about that tonight, what that is. And that question will become more real when we talk about what his cause, what his purpose is. And if we're going to go for him, what that should look like in our lives. Okay, so that's where we're going to focus tonight. What is it that we believe in? Do we believe in the cause of Christ? And what is the cause of Christ? So let's take just a couple of scriptures. And let's begin this process of talking about what the cause of Christ is, the purpose of Christ is, and evaluate how our lives line up with that. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Acts 1 and verse 8. Jesus says to them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, of me, for me. You shall represent me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now we could break that down, and we probably will at some point. I'm not going to tonight, but that statement was and still is an earth-shattering statement in the minds of the believers he was speaking that to on that day. Okay? Because they had no concept of taking this message of Christ to the entire world. Their only mindset was truly to the Jews at this point. That's all, because they were the ones that were God's people. wasn't about Gentiles. It wasn't about the world. It was just about the Jews. It didn't. The rest of the people were just heathens. They were just Gentiles that were away from God. Their purpose was the Jew. But Jesus is beginning to break down the barriers between their purpose and his purpose. And he was helping them to realize that their cause was not his cause. His cause was much greater than their cause. His purpose was greater than theirs. His cause was going to reach all people. Their cause and purpose was going to be limited. And only the Holy Spirit can break you out of your cause and take you into his cause. And that's why when we get there, we're going to talk about we can only go through the Spirit. So the first thing you need to realize about this, or one thing you need to realize about going for Christ, is if you stay in your own power, and if you stay in your own ability, and if you stay in your own way, you will pursue what you think is your cause for God and for Christ, but it won't be his. You'll limit what you accomplish for Christ if you do not allow yourself to be expanded by his cause. And that's where we're going to focus tonight. So what is his cause? He tells them that they are going to be witnesses all around the world, not just in Jerusalem, not just in Judea, but all around the world. Then Paul comes along later in Philippians and chapter 1 and verse 21. It's just one verse. You don't have to, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now all of a sudden, here is a man in Paul. The early church caught it after Pentecost, but Paul really begins to drive it home. That Paul begins to understand and begins to reveal in revelation by the Spirit through his writings, that now it's not just this life for Christ is not just something we do. It is our life. Just like his cause, Christ's cause was his life. Amen. Now, this is, you got to see this. See, for that first group, as they are learning this concept, for those early disciples, as they are learning this concept, they are following Christ. So they're willing to follow him. They're willing to sacrifice for him. They're willing to give of themselves to him. But they still have missed the concept up to the point of being filled with the Spirit. They were missing the concept that this cause is your life. That's what Jesus showed them. Everywhere he walked, he was walking in the Spirit of God. He was walking in the purpose of God. He died in the purpose of God. And so they were going to have to learn that. Paul catches this by revelation. Paul realizes, I'm no longer living for the law. I'm not just living to keep laws. My purpose is not found in my ability to keep laws. My life is Christ. For me to live is Christ. You could put in here and not do any harm to the Scripture. For me to live is Christ's purpose living in me. And then if I die, it's just gain. If I die in this flesh, it's just gain. I'm going to be alive in him, with him forevermore. But to live is Christ. Now, this is where many Christians fall off the boat, if you will. They don't catch this concept. For you to live is Christ. Your life is not your own. When you give your life to Christ, your life is his, and his life is intentional, and his life is purpose, and his life is greater than we can understand. And so we have to lean upon him so that his life lives through us and his purpose becomes our purpose. And so we're just trying to set this up a little bit, because I'm going to give you what his cause is and challenge you to live that out by his power. Now, Paul writes in Galatians chapter number 4, and let's start in verse 16. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul writes to the church of Galatia, and he says in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 4, he says, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, these Judaizers, these that want to pull you back into the law to where your life is all about what you do to keep the law. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always. And not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. He's talked about fear for the church, that they started out the right way and living by faith, but then they had fallen back into the trap of the law, and they had fallen back into the trap of trying to live their life in a way that they could live in such a manner they would please God. And you can't do that. You have to give your life to Christ, and you have to live through Christ. So Paul says, my prayer is that Christ would be formed in you. Now, I hope you'll catch this, and I hope I can say it in a way that you'll catch this, because this is imperative. Our life is in Christ. His cause is now our cause. We are to go for Him, but in order to go for Him, He has to be formed in us. Our life, it has to be formed around Him. He has to be formed within us, and our life takes on His life. Okay. Then we represent Him, but we must believe in His cause. So let's get into it. What is the cause of Christ? What is He all about? And how can we find out if we are living our life believing in His cause? The cause of Christ is this. The cause of Christ is love. And His life and His cause, and if we're going to, it's all about what and why and how He loves. And if we're going to live for His cause, then our belief has to revolve around what and how and why Christ loves. And that has to be formed within us. And that has to be brought out of us and through us. And that has to be the life that we are living. The life we are living is all about now the love of Christ. Okay, now we'll look at that. So we're going to look first of all at what He loves. Because if we're going to believe in Him, and we're going to walk in Him, and we're going to believe in His cause, and His cause is love, then we are going to have to discover, what is it that He loves? Because if we're going to believe in His cause, we're going to go for Him and represent, we have to love what He loves. And in reality, we have to let Him love what He loves through us. That's the key, okay? So, let's look at this. What is it that He loves? Well, the Word tells us a couple of things that He loves, and we'll just start right there. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22 tells us one thing, and I think it's an important thing to pull in, even though it's in the Old Testament, because it's still in the nature now of Christ. And 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, Samuel said, okay, to Saul, as he's rejected as king, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you, Saul, from being king. Here's one thing that the Lord loves, and it bears out in the New Testament. God bears this out in the Old, and then through Christ in the New. He loves obedience better than sacrifice. The Lord is more concerned about your obedience to Him and His will and His cause than your sacrifice. or a sacrifice. Okay, that is the key. He's more concerned about your obedience. Somebody, we need to hear that. You remember the story of Cain and Abel, right? You remember that story of Cain and Abel? Cain kills Abel. They bring a sacrifice to the Lord. This was early on. Adam. These are Adam's sons. This is first stuff here. Okay, that they bring a sacrifice to the Lord. Cain was a grower of vegetables and fruits in the land, and Abel was taking care of flocks. And when they brought sacrifices to God, Abel brought his best of the flock. He brought life, what cost him something, what cost life. He brought that, not just a part of something. He had to give up something that now wasn't no longer going to reproduce. He's giving up something. And Cain just brings some produce to the Lord. And then when the Lord accepts Abel's and rejects Cain, Cain kills him. And we can get into that. And that's not my focus for tonight. But what I want you to understand, God's more interested in obedience. That Abel obeyed from his spirit in giving what cost him something. Okay, it wasn't just about the sacrifice of it. It was obedience. Cain just took something. You could say it cost him something because it did, but it was something that was going to go ahead and reproduce again, and he was going to bring that. And it wasn't what the Lord wanted. So obedience, both would bring a sacrifice, but one would bring an obedient sacrifice. This is what you got to hear. And this is where I want to try to go with this as we walk on down through this, because this is going to be more important as we move along. But it's not about what you're giving up in this life. It's about, are you obedient in what you're giving up, and are you giving what is the cause of the Lord? Okay, so, okay, I'm going to stop that, and I'm going to press forward because we've got to hear this. God also loves praise within the body of believers. You understand? He says God inhabits the praises of his people, so the Lord loves praise amongst the people. Okay, so let's get in. So here's what is it he loves? We understand he loves obedience better than sacrifice. He loves the body coming together in praise. What is it that Christ loves? What is his cause? Well, let me give you some things. Here's what he loves. He loves the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. That's what he loves. He loves this creation. He loves the lost. He talks about the shepherd who will leave the 99 and go after the one that is lost. This is what Jesus loves. He loves the lost. He loves the world. Even in fallen failure, he loves the world because God created this. He's the Word. Nothing was made without him. And this world was created for fellowship and union. He loves this world. He loves the lost that inhabit this world. He loves the body of Christ. The body, the people that are his, that gather, that are his body, he loves us. Okay? This is what Jesus loves. He loves the family. Because he chose for the family to be a representation of his relationship with the church. He loves our families. He loves the broken. Amen. I mean, everywhere he went when he walked on this earth, he went after the broken. He went to the one that was the outcast. He went to the one that was hurt. He loves the hurting. This is what he loves. He loves the hurting. He loves the broken. He loves the family because he loves restoration, and he loves the picture of what that means and the picture it shows to the world of the union between Christ and his church. And he loves the lost, and he loves the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his son that whoever would believe in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. He says, the whole don't need a physician. I came for the sick. He talks about this over and over and over. And you say, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because it's imperative that we understand this is the cause of Christ. What he loves is the cause that we have to go for in representation of him. And if we are not going for what he loves, then we're not believing in his cause and we're not representing his cause. He does not tell us. Well, he does not tell us, and I'm going to give you a scripture here. Matthew 9 and 12 is where he says the ones that are whole do not need a physician, but those that are sick and in need a physician. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. Here's what he says. In Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is who he's after. In Matthew 25, they say to him, Lord, when did we see you sick? When did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry and give to you? And he said, when you've done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. He loves the least. He loves the hurting. He loves the entire world. He loves the lost, but he loves those that are hurting. So the first thing we have to discover, if we are going to believe in his cause and go for him in representation with his cause, is we have to exhibit his love for what he loves. And so the church should represent Christ in what we love. And what is it we should love? What he loves. We should love one another. We should love the body, our time together. We should love the lost. And not harshly criticize them. We should love the broken and work towards restoration where possible. We should love the least and the outcast and not turn our nose up to them. Come on, somebody. Because that's what Jesus did. And we represent him. We are so busy today as Christians loving what we love that we're not representing what he loves. You know what we love? We love our comfort. We love our me time. We love our pleasure. We love our blessings. We love our needs being met, but we're not real concerned with everybody else. Then you can't say you believe in his cause because you're not representing his cause. You will represent his cause and go for his cause whenever you begin to love what he loves. And you begin to express that love and his love begins to flow through you. And that's why our world right now is crumbling and falling around us. And our world needs a church that will represent Christ in what he loves. And that means a church that will stand up in love. And that's going to mean more than what you think I'm saying here in just a moment when we get there. But the first thing that has to be established is what he loves. These are the things he loves. He loves restoration. He loves healing. He loves victory. He loves salvation. That's what and who he loves. And we must love the very same way. The second thing, then, about his cause that we need to settle is not only what he loves, but why he loves. He does not love the lost and the hurting and the broken and the body gathered and restoration and healing and all. He does the least. He does not love them so he can have notches on his belt of good things that's happened to them. Here's why he loves them. Christ loves who he loves, what he loves, all that he loves, because it is his nature. It is his nature to love. Here's the sad reality. It's a sad day when people can look at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and not recognize that the church loves what Jesus loves, and not recognize why we love them is because He loves them. When the world gets the idea that the church is just trying to use them, we are no longer for His cause. We are not trying to just use the world to get to a better place. We love because He loves. We love what He loves, and we have to love why He loves. It is His nature to love. He does not desire our past to define us. He wants His love to define us. This is why He loves. He loves because He doesn't want our past to define us. Do you know what our past is? Do you know our past is all the same? Let me know that. Let me know our past is all the same. You say, no, no one has a past like mine. Our past is all the same. You know what it is? All of us come from the past of failure and sin. It may look different. It may show up different. It may seem different in certain ways. But it's all separation from God by sin. That's the past we came from. But do you know why Jesus came? The why is because it's His nature. And He does not desire that our past would define any of us that would believe in Him. So the reason we love is the same why that He loves. And when we settle that, then we can love what He loves. Because when we determine that if He desires that our past not define us and the past not define anyone, then we can begin to love people for the right reason. And recognize their past doesn't have to define them either. How many of you are glad your past in failure and sin and separation from God does not define you tonight? Then don't you think everyone else in the world that Jesus loves has that same right? And if you are going for His cause and representing Him, shouldn't we be the one showing that to them? Amen? See, that's His nature. And if He's living in us, then His nature is going to live through us. Now, here's the reality. That's not our nature. Our nature is rebellion. Flesh, that's what our flesh nature is. Our flesh nature is selfishness. Our flesh nature is falling and separated from God. Our flesh nature is wild, and our flesh nature is out there in destruction, sowing seeds of destruction. But we are new creatures in Christ. And when we are new creatures, old things pass away and all things become new. And what all things that He's talking about in that scripture, it's Christ. He's the all things that become new. And now He lives through us. And now we represent Him. And we go on behalf of Him. But in order to go on behalf of Him, we have to believe in His cause. That means we have to allow His love to become our nature. And has anybody ever discovered that loving people is not always easy? How many would agree people do not always make loving them easy? Do you know that didn't catch Jesus by surprise? Do you know Jesus loved Judas just as much as He loved John? John was known as the beloved. Oh, he's the one Jesus loves. That's what they call him. But do you know Jesus loved Judas just as much as He loved John? That love never changed. John lived for Him. Judas rebelled, fell into sin nature, and is the one that turned him over to his adversary. Turned out for God's good. Judas ends up leaving and killing himself. But the Lord loved him just as He loved John. The Lord loved the prostitute just like He loved the one who would live a chaste life their entire life. Jesus loves because it's His nature. And His nature does not desire that the past should define any of us. So therefore, He still wants to live that through us. because now we represent him. So even though people make it hard to love them, we allow the love of Christ to flow through us, and we constantly remind ourselves that we are representing Christ. We are speaking on behalf of Christ, and we have to believe in the cause of Christ. And therefore, it needs to become our desire that every person would come to the realization that Christ can be their Savior and their past doesn't have to define them. Now, will they all accept that? No. And will they all just make that easy for? No. They didn't make it easy for Jesus. Do you know he loved the Pharisees, but he hated their actions. They didn't make it easy on him. Right? But he loved them. You know how I know that? Because the Bible records some of them that gave their life to him. The priests would come and at night, and some of them would turn to him, and some of them would believe upon him. He desired all of them to, but they all didn't. It's not that we're going to win everybody, because we're not. But we go on behalf of Christ, and we need to be willing to let everybody know your past doesn't have to define you. Christ loves you, and we will represent that, and we will share that love with you. Amen. That's his nature. Are we allowing his nature to flow through us? Or when it gets hard to show love, do we quit and say, well, then you just get what you deserve? That is not believing in the cause of Christ. Amen. Here's what Scripture says, John 15 and 13. Greater love than this has no man than that he lay down his life for another. Amen. No, there is no love that can compare to that kind of love. The one that he considers his friends, that he gives his life. And do you know who Christ considers his friends? Listen. Who did they say were his friends? He is the friend of sinners. We ought to just take a praise break right there, because Jesus is a friend of sinners. They got on to him for that. They said, well, he goes and eats in the house with sinners. He goes and sits with him. Yeah, because he's the friend. And no greater love than this, than he gives his life for his friends. Are we representing that cause in our world? Because that is what he loves, and that is why he loves, because it is his nature. Do you know another why that he loves is not only because it's his nature. He doesn't just love, you know, the word tells us God is love, and we know that he and the Father are one, and so he is love. Christ is the Word, and he is love. But not only that, but another why that he loves is because eternity is at stake. He loves because it's his nature. He doesn't want anyone to be defined by their past. But he loves also because eternity is at stake. Eternity is real. Separation from God is real. Therefore, Jesus loves because it's not his desire that any would perish. He would preach to anyone that he had the opportunity. We sit around and have arguments and debates today among the church as to whether we should preach to some people or not. Or we should talk to some people or not. And we use scriptures like, well, the word says don't cast your pearls before the swine. And so, no, let me tell you who we should share the gospel with. Anyone and everyone that would listen or have ears to hear in whatever way we can. Why? Because eternity is at stake. That's why Jesus loves. He doesn't want people to spend eternal hell separated from God. He wants to give the opportunity of life. That's his cause. It's the whole reason he came. Do we believe in that cause? If we do, then we will be compelled to action. Because Christ will live in us. And guess what Christ will lead you always to do? To love. And guess who he will lead you to love? The lost, the broken, the hurting. Amen. Everyone you come in contact with, the body, he'll lead you to love the very same things he loves. Why? Because It's his nature. And he doesn't want the past to define us. And eternity is at stake. And so he determines that. And then why else does he love? Because I got ahead of myself. Because we are created for more. He loves because humans are created for something more. He doesn't want the past to define us. Eternity is real. He wants our future to be settled with God. But he also knows that our present now can be more. Can be better. Can be new. Not just your past wiped away. Not just your future settled. But your now. Come on, church. If we are going for the cause of Christ, we're going to want people to know your life can be better now. Not just in the future, not just at eternity, not just a past being wiped away, but God has something better for you now. Now, there's people don't want to hear that. Now, I do too. There's people in our world, they don't want you to talk to them about their now. I want to do what I want to do. I'll claim Christ. I'll make myself ready for eternity. But don't try to tell me how to live now. But the reason why we should go for Christ and let people know is because he desires you to have a better now than you currently have. Amen? That's why he loves. What he loves is everyone. The broken, the hurting, all of those that have been separated from God, the world, the body of Christ. He loves. Why does he love? Because it's his nature, because eternity's at stake, and because he knows we are created for more. And then the last thing is how. And this is where this is vital. How he loves. Because remember, we're representing him, so we have to believe in his cause. To go for him means to represent him. And to represent him, we have to believe in his cause. So we have to believe he loves through us. So we love what he loves. We love why he loves. And now we have to know how he loves. One thing we determine about God and about Christ is his love is unconditional. The love of our Lord is unconditional. He loves us in spite of who we are. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Amen. When we were enemies against him, he loved us. His love for us is unconditional. Now don't get carried away. It's unconditional because all of us are image bearers of God. All of us were created in his image. All of us were made in his image. So how he loves us is unconditional. He doesn't just turn off the switch and quit loving us. Amen. I've got to tell you, I did not fully understand this till I had kids. I just didn't have that comprehension until I had kids of my own. Because you know what? There is not one thing my kids could ever do. That's a big statement. They can make me mad. I mean, they can infuriate me. They could do things that could cause me to have to not associate with them at times. But there is nothing they could do that could cause me to quit loving them. My love for them, I don't care how far they went, how deep they went, how terrible, there's not one thing they could do that would cause me to quit loving them because they are my kids. They may be wrong. I may not be able to agree with them, associate with them. I may not be proud of them, but I'm going to love them. Hey, come on now. And do you know that's how the Lord loves? He loves, that's the unconditional love, that's how he loves. But then also, his love has some conditions in it. Because he loves unconditionally, but his love is to bless us and to prosper us and to help us, but that's conditional. His resources are in order are ours. We are His. We're joint heirs with Christ for those that are in Christ. But that's conditional in that we have to believe in Him. We have to trust in Him. We have to put our faith in Him. Amen. That's that. There's a condition. He loves all unconditionally. Even those that don't have faith in Him. Even those that outright reject Him. He loves unconditionally. His love is real. His love is forever. But His life through that human is conditional. And the love that is shared in that life is conditional upon faith and obedience. And obedience is faith. Keeping faith in Christ. If you will have faith in God. So He loves unconditionally, but his promises are conditional. We don't just get everything the Word says because He loves us. He loves everyone. There are conditions. And here's the last thing. He loves responsibly. Now listen. And then we're going to tie it together. He loves responsibly because He also disciplines. Well, I know we don't want to hear that. But you know what the Word tells us? The Word tells us if He doesn't chasten us, then He doesn't love us. He loves responsibly. How many know it's irresponsible to love your children but never discipline them? Amen. It's irresponsible. That's not love. You're not teaching them anything. That's enabling. Right? Now I hope I don't step on too many toes. But this concept, this newfangled concept that parents seem to have, well, I'm going to let my kids determine whether they go with me to church or not. That was not a concept when I was growing up. Not in my house. I was never given that choice, right? Because you know what? If my parents would have said to me when I was 10, 11 years old, well, Greg, do you want to go to church today? I'd have never said yes. I'd have much rather been out playing with my friends and doing the stuff I wanted to do. And they said, well, I want them to make up their own mind. To love them, you got to teach responsibility. You got to discipline, right? You got to train. You got to help them realize, train up a child in the way that they should go. You got to give them some order in their life. That's called good, healthy love. There's got to be parameters that they learn to walk within. And when they walk outside that parameter, then there have to be repercussions for that. Hey, I used to be called the belt of truth, right? But I don't know what it's called now. But He loves us responsibly because He will discipline us. He will speak to us. He will chasten us. Amen? Believe me, I know of who I talk about. Because the Lord has disciplined me on several occasions. Because I desperately needed it. It's not. He'll discipline my attitude when it's bad. Right? And He uses the voice of my wife a lot of times. Right? To do that. When I'm acting out and she says, you need to check yourself. Right? Yeah. You're acting like a crazy person right now. Just because somebody pulled in front of you on the road or something didn't go your way that you're trying to fix. Right? Yeah, that it's responsible love. So here's what I'm saying. How we should love, if we believe in His cause and He's living through us and we're representing Him, we love the way He loves. That means we love unconditionally. So that means doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what's happened, doesn't matter where they're at, how low they are, how bad they are, we offer the love of God. But there are conditions that can only be activated by those that are in faith in Christ. And it's irresponsible to tell people that are not living in faith that they can have all the blessings of God, because they can't. That doesn't mean I don't love them. It means there's a conditional love promise that if you will have faith in Him, He will take care of you. And we need to speak that truth to people. There are people who claim to know Christ that do not live in the blessings of Christ because they are not exhibiting the faith of Christ in Christ. And they say, I just don't understand why things aren't working out for me. Let me tell you, I understand why a lot of times. Not all the time. Sometimes it's just testing that we go through. But there are also times we bring a lot of foolishness on ourselves. And if there is constant chaos around us all the time and in our life, then maybe a really good place to start would be, let's check how we are reacting with Christ. How we are living in Christ. Amen? And then, responsible love even disciplines sometimes. Trains, teaches, shows. Reveals. That's not a lack of love. That's love in action. That's how Christ loves. Amen. That's how He loves. Paul was faced with an issue that was a continuing issue, dealt with it. Finally, he said, you just got to put them out. Turn them over to Satan for the hope of restoration. How many would say, in our world today, we would say, well, that's not love. It was. And there seems to be later on, even though it's not expressly stated, there seems to be the coming back. Tough love. Christ loves that way. He disciplines when necessary. Right? And we must do the same. We must do that with our lives, with our kids, with people we love, with our family. We must speak the truth in love. We love unconditionally, but we also can share. But there's a conditional love promise with Christ that is activated by faith and living for Him. And then we have to be responsible enough to do the hard work of love. Remember, we're representing Christ. Here's the problem. His love is not harsh love. And a lot of times we say, well, I just did that because I really love them. No, you don't. God knows your heart. If you treat them like dirt, then you're not representing Christ. Amen. So we got to represent Christ. And we got to represent His cause. What is His cause? To love. What does He love? We must love. The world, the lost, the hurting, body of Christ, believers, we love. Why do we love? Because it's His nature. Because our past doesn't define us. It's eternity's at stake. Our future's planned. We're created for more in the now. How do we love? Unconditionally. Because every person deserves it. If we deserved it, everyone does. Conditionally, in that we speak the truth. You have to activate faith in Christ in order to receive and walk in the love of Christ. And then for those that accept that, responsibly, if you see someone, a brother, a sister, taken in a fall, you go to them and in love, you restore them. Amen? We attended church in Tulsa. If they will, right. We attended church in Tulsa and I had a really close friend in church there that just went off the deep end, got into lots of trouble, and was bringing trouble to his family, and had turned away from God. Me and another friend went to his house and confronted him. Just went to him, talked with him in love. You know what we were able to do? We were able to see a brother come back to Christ. Because that was the love of Christ. We didn't just reject Him. We didn't just turn away from Him. We loved responsibly like Christ did. We did the hard work of love that Christ would desire us to do. That's the cause. Okay? What, how, and why Are we representing? Are we believing in the cause of Christ? Stand to your feet with me. Are we representing Christ in that way? Because we're going after God. We're going for Christ. That means we represent Him. So we go on behalf of that. That deals with our words. We're speaking on behalf of Christ. And we're believing in the cause. So we're representing His cause, which is love. So that means we always have to check, what does He love? Why does He love? How does He love? And are we allowing Him to do that in us? Amen. This is pretty practical stuff. I mean, this stuff you can apply every day in your life. Because you'll run into people that you have to make a choice. Will you love them as Christ loves them? Will you represent Him? You'll run into people on your job that make it really hard to show the love of Christ. Right? But are you willing to do the hard work? And it doesn't mean that you become their doormat. That's not what love is. But are you willing to continue to do the hard work and let Christ shine through you? Don't go down to that level. Rise to the level of Christ. Amen. You know what doesn't show the love of Christ? Shouting back and forth to try to get your way. It doesn't show the love of Christ. Really, that just makes you look like them. And then people that stand around and are looking are saying, hey, that Christian and that person is not a Christian, they act the same. Amen. So we have to remember we are going for Christ. So we must believe in the cause of Christ. Amen. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We're thankful for this opportunity to be in Your house.